This is the Essence Reveal Podcast, where we peel back the layers to uncover your essence brand. I'm Christina Courtright Jenkins, and I am a passionately curious essence explorer and guide, and I'm the creator of Embody Your Essence Brand. Essence is the self-aware version of your authenticity. And when it comes to your personal brand, that's not something you create. It's something you uncover and embody. And that's what we're here to do. So are you ready for the adventure of revealing your essence brand? Let's do this. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Essence Reveal Podcast. And today I am super excited to talk with somebody who has been powerfully influential in my business and in helping me get very focused in on what my gifts are and how to present them to the world. And it is Mina Raver from Forging Fortune, one of the most influential people in my life. Mina, welcome and thank you.
Thank you. I love these symbiotic relationships. I could have introduced you the exact same way.
Well, thank you very much. That means so much. I'd love to give just a little bit of history about kind of our back and forth and everything. And I'm going to start with that. So I met Mina in a networking group that we were a part of, and she started talking in one of the things, and I thought, my gosh, I need to meet this person. I really think that we could get along really well. And in my mind, I was thinking, and I think she could actually help me with my business, which is something that I have been looking for and have paid lots and lots of money to find and have not actually found somebody who does what I want. And that thing that I wanted was to help me unravel the ball of yarn in my head that was what I do, my inherent gifts, my essence gifts, if you will, help me unravel those into something that I can see, you know, putting it out on the table so I can see the stuff. And that's what you did. But I'll never forget that first call, because you were like, hold up. I'm not even sure I want to work with you. And I was like, what? And it wasn't mean. You just wanted more information, which taught me about boundaries. I mean, you know, this is something that I work on and I do this work, but that thing where you were just like, straight up, I'm not sure. Okay.
Absolutely. Well, I just think that we deserve to love the things that we do, and we deserve to love the people that we are sharing space with. And, you know, the process that we went through is extremely intimate, and a monetary exchange is not enough to make the kind of connection or create the kind of vulnerability between two people that is necessary to create something that is truly embodying of your essence and soul. So it's a big deal.
Yeah, I love the way you used the word intimate, because that's really what it felt like. I was opening the door and allowing someone to come deep inside my head. And I'm very open to doing that. It was the way that you got it out of me, because it wasn't that I was unwilling before with any of the other people that I'd worked with. It was that you had almost like you knew how to pick the locks that I'd lost the keys to.
That's my favorite part.
I would love to hear more about that process and the analogy we talked. I used the ball of yarn, but you used like the knotted necklaces analogy when we first started talking. Will you tell us about that?
Sure. I mean, it's like when you start throwing things at the bottom of your jewelry box, right? It starts with the gifts that your parents gave you, or there's one at the bottom that's the little dime store necklace that the little boy in third grade gave you. And you save all these things, and one day you want them, and they're all knotted up together. And following the line, following the links between each one will lead you not just through these different aspects of your history, these different aspects of your being and things that you forgot you're operating under. They form a collection of meaning that's deeper than what we're allowed to express from day to day. And now the real fun comes in when you start trying to conceptualize those connections and conceptualize those relationships And I think that's where a lot of people need help that they don't get, right? We try to conceptualize them ourselves when the reality is all of these things have already been conceptualized for us. There are examples of all of these relationships, all of these connections in nature. So instead of trying to sit and fit the pieces together and understand yourself and philosophize about yourself, what we really should be doing is putting one thing on one side of the paper and looking around for examples of how that works around us. It moves a lot quicker. It's a lot more effective.
Oh, I love that. And I love the way you use analogies. I love analogies, as everybody knows. Analogies just speak a language that is so accessible to everybody. And I just love that. I feel and have felt for really since we started working together, like you and I do a similar work with people, and we approach it from different sides of the sphere, so to speak, because we think in such different ways. But the goal or the outcome or the desire is the same. It's just this approach to it. And I love that about you so much. I just consider you to be somebody that I want to throw ideas with, because I know you're going to see them in a different way. Even though we're both seeing the same color of blue, for example, we're going to look at the shades of that blue and what's making that up and the different patterns within that in different ways. And it's amazing.
I love it. I love chatting with you.
I know we could really chat for hours, and I would love to, we do chat for hours, don't we?
Exactly.
And as we move farther on in the podcast, we're going to talk about the community that you're building where we can hear more about this. And I'd like to get there by just going through the process, because through the process of working with me and me working with you in this beautiful symbiotic relationship that we have, you've made massive changes to your business. And I love the conversation that we had just a couple of weeks ago when we talked about where we both were a year ago and our evolution. Will you talk about that evolution, Mina?
I wrote that down. That was so impactful. I just turned 35, maybe a couple of weeks ago. And as you do, you took time with me to, you know, just kind of reflect. And what did you say? That a year ago, I was selling sleep to preschool owners. And I'm proud of that time and what I did, because, you know, I'm a business strategist. And I was helping people who take the education of the youngest children into their own hands. But I was also doing that because that's what felt safe. We, especially in business, there are these layers of things like professionalism, worth, value, paying your dues. You pick a niche, you figure out what they want, and you sell it to them. Whatever that means for you, which is usually downgrading yourself, putting pieces of you somewhere else. All of these things. So with that, I took what I felt was the most valuable, was the technical knowledge, and I put it into a package and I put it out there, and I did well, but it wasn't holistic. It didn't feel good. I was still, you know, working 12 hours a day and then sleeping 4 hours a day, because the rest of that time I was spending on the things that I love, like research. And so working with Christina, it just, first of all, just being seen. Because when we had that first conversation, you weren't asking me about my technical knowledge. You weren't asking me about the things that you can find in any textbook. You were asking me questions about me, about the things that I try to hide from people. Because, I mean, let's be honest, a lot of them have been relegated to diagnoses, and I wasn't proud of them the way I deserved to be. I mean, that's the power of being seen. But then the power of seeing yourself the way a good person sees you, and having a safe place to really stretch into those things and learn to wield them, you have so much more to give back.
That absolutely brought me to tears, Mina, just seeing our year-long journey together from your perspective in that way. Thank you for sharing that with me.
My honor.
And I think that that's the perfect place to say, so where are you now? You just launched something huge, massive, your true essence biz. So yes. You talk to us about that.
Absolutely. So as a coach and the founder of Forging Fortune, I still work one-on-one with for-purpose business owners and visionaries to help you create biomimetic business systems, learn more about yourself, create a business that looks like you so that you can impact the world tremendously the few hours a day. The problem with doing that one-on-one is that as your business partner, it's not accessible. It's nowhere near as accessible as it needs to be. So I just launched the 2000 Days Project. And the 2000 Days Project is the culmination of, believe it or not, a lifetime of research, activism, entrepreneurship, and politics, because I have a background in all of those things. And we're coming together with the understanding that what we do for the next 5 years will determine whether or not we survive the following 50. And so my superpower, as Christina lovingly dragged out of me, is to see the connections within the big picture. And so I'm calling people into this space so that I can help amplify you and expand your impact in connection to everyone else's. We're creating the intrinsic and institutional alternatives that we need to be able to embrace the technological advances we will have in place to survive.
So powerful. It's so incredibly powerful. And the people that have joined your group, including me, these are, I like to call them game changers. People that are going to change the game of humanity that we've been playing for millennia. And then the sense of urgency is there. It's real. This isn't false urgency, folks. This is real. We don't have to look far to see that our world is changing rapidly, environmentally, in our geopolitical business. Everything is changing at such a fast, and I would even say, even though it's overused, exponential rate.
Yeah.
That what you're offering and the community that you are providing for these purpose-centered entrepreneurs, because you've got a tagline and I'm going to mess it up. So I'm going to say it and I want to fix it. But it's basically that we're creating change, not through protest, not through fighting, but through our purpose-centered businesses. So will you clean up what the motto that I just explained, but you've got it down in beautiful words?
Sure. Well, this is really important because of all of the institutions that we have in place, only the market is friendly to change. All of the others are built to last. They're built to overcome change.
Ooh, can you, Mina, I would love it if you said that one more time, because that right there, that's the fulcrum of the entire experiment hypothesis that you have that I agree with. Say it one more time, please.
Sure. All of the institutions that we're trying to change by becoming part of them or by protesting or otherwise validating their power, every single one of them was built to outlast change. The market is the only institution that we have available that is friendly to change.
So in 2000 days, and I love that you've got this timeline around it, I'd love it if you just explained to my community just a little bit about what this looks like within the 2000 days and what the end goal of the 2K project is.
Yes. Okay. So the beauty of the 2K days project is that it is a bonfire meeting place. We're all going out and doing our own thing and having our own impact, but the power of the 2K days project is messaging density. In a single space, all working for our own portion of the same goal, we have the power to speak much more loudly, to have a much greater effect on the social consciousness than we do in our individual spaces. So my 5 years goal, I'm looking at this here because I've got it all planned out. Year one is all about self, deconstructing the mental blocks, things like possible. Possible is a limiting belief. Someone else has already defined what's possible, and let me tell you, it has nothing to do with you. We're breaking down those core beliefs, those core paradigms, and rebuilding our own through experimentation. And this is a safe place to experiment, and we have nothing to lose, so we might as well. Year two is all about expanding our businesses, making a massive show of our success. A lot of people hear me say for-purpose business, and they think that that is the same as nonprofit, or that that means that we don't make money. But I view money as the physical representation of our potential. Right now, it doesn't free flow based on potential the way it was conceived to. We still have to attract and circulate dollars in proportion to the potential of our ideas. And so we're building businesses around that model. Year three is galvanizing our community, our global community, around the impact that we're making. Because we're not just building businesses here, folks. We are building change alternatives. And we're not asking permission. We're not asking people to review this in Congress and see if they like it, because they don't. They're comfortable. Comfortable people have no reason to change anything. We're taking these things to the market instead and asking the people if they want it. We're creating a space for them to gather and experience it themselves. And as the potential pools with us, that's the only thing that's going to turn these into institutions. We can beg all we want. I've been knocking on doors since I was 9 years old. We're not going to get anywhere that way.
You've been doing this since you could walk. So your personal story is very meaningful, because Mina, when she talks about how she's been through some stuff, she's been through some stuff. Childhood homelessness, learning challenges, abandonment, massive change in entrepreneurship, graduating from a university as a high school dropout, running for political office, making a bridge between underserved populations, minority populations. First Nations is one of your really important groups of underserved people that you are so incredibly passionate about. You know what you're talking about, and the breadth of your experience and the resilience and grit. And those are pretty buzzy words. You embody resilience and grit. And I would say thriving through those. So thrival. You didn't just survive. You thrived, and you're helping others thrive. And it's not even in spite of. It is honestly almost because of. It is because of.
Absolutely. And what I love about it now that I can look back and I'm not in it is that because of those experiences, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that what we are experiencing today is not human nature. It takes a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of thought, a lot of money, a lot of violence to maintain the way things are. And that's why we're seeing these degradations at such an exponential rate, is because we've been operating so far outside of our communal and civil norms. Our natural propensities to self-actualize have been squashed, which means that our natural cycle towards social actualization is being constantly kept at bay. What I'm proposing is that I know that this sounds very kumbaya, but really look around. What I'm proposing is that we simply institutionalize our natural symbiotic state.
So clear, so clear. Please carry on with year four. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No worries. Picking up at year four, that's just about global social reconstitution and outreach, with the intention of hitting our five-year goal, which is actually a new model for resource management. When I say that what we do in the next 5 years is going to determine whether or not we survive the following 50, what I mean is over the course of the next 5 years, we are not going to have the same kind of abundance in food production and a lot of the things that we need that we have now. And still, a lot of the scarcity that we experience is purposeful. We will not experience the kind of scarcity that will result in the kind of suffering that we are experiencing today or that we will experience then if we institute more efficient, thoughtful, for-purpose resource management avenues. And there are people who are already working on these things. I'm just asking them to come and work on them here so that we can make this a group project instead of relief-based initiatives, disparate relief-based initiatives. I want to see problems solved, ended, so we can move on to the next ones.
I love that. You want to pull the weed out by the root.
Right.
You want to heal the wound from the inside out because we have so many band-aids. We have so many weeds that get pulled up, but that root is still in there to just come up again. And your mission is to heal, pull that root out completely.
Right.
And what are you going to do at the end of 5 years, Mina?
Well, I'm a data collector. So over the course of this entire process, my personal goal here is to gather and build the framework for what will become the Civil Complexities Institute. I would like to build an accredited university, global university, that trains the next generation of policymakers, diplomats, decision makers, actual leaders, not just the wardens we have today, but actual leaders in observing and problem solving through the lens of civil complexity.
I love that. And actually, you posted on Facebook something really powerful. I'm going to drop that into the notes, your Facebook post that you put about leadership, is because I think that that sheds light on what you just said. You're absolutely right. Again, I invite you to just sit and think, Civil Complexities Institute. What if we had an institute that was open to the globe to work on the problems, the complex problems, and pull them out by the root? And I know that Mina is a fantastic data collector and that the data that she collects, her experience that she gathers from herself as well as from the people that she works with, are going to be all brought together, just like you did with my ideas that were all over the place, but I knew I was getting results. You're going to bring them all together because this is such a skill for you into a beautiful, presentable, amazing package that is accessible. And when I say beautiful, it doesn't mean it's going to be all, you know, sweets and roses, because we're talking about civil complexities here, right? But it's going to be in a way that, as opposed to this shotgun effect that we have now of, oh, look, there's a problem, and then we just splatter it everywhere. No, we're going to be able to laser focus and actually solve the problems. It is an absolute honor to be with you, Mina, because I think that you are a game changer. And I'm so, so blessed that you've come to talk to us today. Do you have anything like a top tip for revealing your essence or for bringing into reality your essence-based business, your purpose business, as you call it, for my listeners?
Sure. I would say number one is absolutely dispel the belief that change happens slowly. It isn't true. It's never been true. And then to deep dive into yourself and bring it all up with courage, curiosity, and absolute audacity.
That is beautiful words to live by. Mina, where can people find you and where can people listen to your podcast?
Sure. My podcast is at forgingfortune.com. You can learn more about the 2K Days project at www.2kdaysproject.com. That's where I spend most of my time these days, although I'm a millennial, as we do. And so the best way to get a hold of me is actually through Facebook.
At Mina Raver on Facebook. Thank you so much, Mina. It has been a pleasure and an honor to talk to you today.
Well, thank you so much. I had so much fun as usual.